scripture today will be from Deuteronomy chapter 26, verses 5 through 11. Then you shall declare before the Lord our God, my father was a wandering Aramean, and he went down into Egypt with a few people and lived there and became a great nation, powerful and numerous. But the Egyptians mistreated us and made us suffer, subjecting us to harsh labor. Then we cried out to the Lord, the God of our ancestors, and the Lord heard our voice and saw our misery, toil and oppression. So the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and outstretched his arm, with great terror and with signs and wonders. He brought us to this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. Now I bring the first fruits of the soil that you, Lord, have given me. Place the basket before the Lord your God and bow down before him. Then you and the Levites and the foreigners residing among you shall rejoice in all the good things the Lord your God has given to you and your household. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Let us pray. God, today we are here because we gather to listen to you and to learn from you. Allow the Holy Spirit be the one who speaks to all of us. And allow us through that to find hope and transformation through you. In your name we pray. Amen. Maybe just so you know, you feel a little bit like, okay, the bulletin looks a little bit different. And the order of service is a little bit different. If you felt that, good. It's happening. We are doing some changes. We have been listening and praying and exploring. So just walk with us on this process. And it's just a way that we want to help the congregation to be able to connect better and learn and have a better experience in worship. Just be aware of that. But today also we're starting a new season. And it is what we call the time of Lent, and many of us, we remember that happening always before when we have our Easter celebration. Lent has a special place. We usually do not want to think about suffering. We don't want to deal with suffering, right? Actually, it's normal that we are trying to avoid that. But Lent also brings another aspect, not just the remembering suffering or trying to be intentional about realizing how limited we are. It's also in Lent when we have an opportunity to explore ourselves and realize, am I walking close to the Lord? Am I really coming to be the person God created me to be? You see, there is always an intention from God to bring you back. Do you get that? There is always an intention. I even pray many times, God, interrupt this person. Interrupt them from where they are so they can understand that you are bringing them back. That's one of the biggest topics on the scripture that we can find. Actually, many of you probably remember the book of Hosea. It's a Spanish Oseas. I mean, I really love that guy in the Bible. I feel pain for the poor guy. I hope you can read the story. It's a really difficult story. It's this man. Do you know that story? Raise your hand if you know what I'm talking about. Okay, he was an amazing prophet. And what happened to him? What did God ask him to do? To get married to a faithful and awesome woman? No. How was that woman?
A prostitute.
She was not faithful at all. But then what was he doing every time that she was wandering around? He will go back and bring her back. He will go and bring her back. I mean, there is a point when you hear all these men looking at that book and reading, and they are like, just dump the girl. But we find God saying, do not do that. Go back. And through that, what God is explaining to the people of Israel is, that's how I feel with you guys. Here I am loving you. Here I am trying to pursue your heart and coming and bringing you to a life where you can thrive, but you keep going in darkness. But even there, I go and try to reach you there. You see, it sounds like a topic from the Old Testament, but isn't it that we do that sometimes, the same thing? We try to wander around. And perhaps the reason we do that is because we're trying to answer this question in life. To whom or to what do I look in order to know that I am loved or that my life has a meaning? Think about that. Who is that one that gives the biggest influence in your life and brings meaning to you. That, let's be honest, not always we allow God to do that. I'm kind of concerned because what Celeste says here is very, very powerful. It says, sometimes it's our financial security, our loss for approval or recognition, our preoccupation with our bodies, an addictive relationship, even a distorted image of our family put on a pedestal. We become what we worship. Now, this is heavy because think about if we are putting our lives in something that is gonna end, we are putting ourselves in a place of death. So God, to avoid this and to help us to grow this, he reminds us something very important in the scripture and how to deal with this in the scripture. And the way we deal with that is with this big word, remember. Can you say that? Remember. Now I'm going to teach you in Spanish. Acuérdate. Can you say that one? Acuérdate. Don't read it. First think it. Close your eyes and then say, acuérdate. Because if you see it, you're going to get confused. Acuérdate. Remember. Now, let me explain a little bit about the scripture. It's really cool, that word remember in the Bible. Because when we think about remember right now, it's more kind of what I do before shopping. Like, I think I need to remember that I need to buy 5 pounds of coffee and everything else. And I really, really need to remember that. And we think that that's it. It's just remember, so you buy. Or remember when you are doing your star test. You memorize something, right? Or when they ask you to remember the names of all the members of the church. And I confess to you guys that I don't remember all of the names. It's a confession I have. So sometimes I'm going to smile to you. And if you see me that I'm smiling, it means I know you, but I don't remember your name. But that's not the kind of remember that we find in the scripture here. This is a deeper remember. When we're hearing the scripture that God is calling us to remember, it's almost a covenant between God also remembering and you. It's almost coming to a place of saying, because of who you know who God is, because God is coming to you and say, I'm connected with you, in that relationship, action happens. When you are connected in a covenant of remembering, action happens. You remember the Lord Jesus Christ when he says, remember me in the moment of the consecration of the Holy Communion. We say, we do this in remembrance. Why? Because when we come in that covenant with God, action happens. Transformation happens. Salvation happens to all of us. And in this case, how can we come back with God? It's when we go back to that covenant of remembering. And it's important that we allow our story to be in the hands of that covenant. I read something that really concerned me. Brian Jones says this. When we forget our faith stories, the religious self formed by those stories, what happened? Shrinks and is replaced by another self, the self produced by competing cultural stories. So I become whatever I hear, whatever influence I have. This is something that concerns me, especially with the children, but we also do that with many families. So if I'm looking at family dynamics that are conflictive, more than what I'm reading, what the Bible tells me, how the Holy Spirit can lead my life or the life of my family, I'm going to become that conflictive family because those are the resources and the tools that I'm learning. When we talk about how we develop as a person, if we are receiving influences from media, from other people, from different kinds of book, but we don't go to that specific word of God, then our lives are going to have more influence from those voices than the voice of God. You get that? So many times we need to remember, you know, so who's bringing my story to reality? Who's shaping who I am? And here is where God remember, and how do we keep focus in the right place? And what he tells us is to remember, and what he does even in the Old Testament is what we read today in the scripture. We're reading in Deuteronomy. That is one of the hardest words to pronounce for a person who doesn't speak English, guys. Let me tell you. I have practiced for 20 years learning English, like Deuteronomy. And probably I have it wrong, right? Okay. Yes, God, there are miracles happening. So, okay. So in that book of Deuteronomy, one of the things that they teach in there is specifically how Moses is teaching the people to have different rituals and celebrations. Not because Moses was expecting the people of Israel just to be party people, but he knows. He knows how stubborn they are, as we are too. Amen? So he knows you need to do things that puts all yourself involved so you remember and connect with God and action happens. So they did these different celebrations. And one of them was the one called the first fruits. So they will bring the first fruits and there will be an entire ritual about that. What is this about? It says, then you shall declare before the Lord your God. So what Moses is telling them, testify. Testify who has God been with you. If you are capable to bring a good and a wonderful fruit in front of this celebration, it means that God has been present with you. Testify. And he guides them on that testify and in that process. He tells them, remember. Remember how the scripture says, my father was a wandering Aramean. Some people say that he's talking about Abraham. Other ones are talking about Jacob. But mainly what he's talking is, it has been part of the history. God has been part of the history of all of us. And he went down into Egypt with a few people and lived there and became a great nation, powerful and numerous. So there was a promise that God gave. And God is fulfilling that promise. Many times we read in the Old Testament, the way God introduces himself, he says, I am the God of who? Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Why is he doing that? Those are his last names or what? No, it's a way where God is remembering and saying, I have been that faithful God present with you since Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I have fulfilled my covenants and my promises with each of them. That's my character. So when God is putting himself in that place of remembering, we are remembering the character of God. And we see how he fulfilled his promise. And this is another beautiful aspect on this specific ritual. It says, then we cry out to the Lord, the God of our ancestors, and the Lord heard our voice and saw our misery, toil, and oppression. This is the time when they remember when they went to Egypt and they were slaves. But what's beautiful is to find this mighty God able to hear you and see you. That's a relationship. That is a God that is connected with your story. And we find him here. He knew. He knew what was happening with them, but he was willing to come and connect with them, hear them, and saw them. He saw the oppression they were living, and he walked with them in that process of being able to be free from being slaves. And for the people of Israel, it wasn't just the freedom, it was also the meaning. Now they were not behaving anymore as slaves, but now they were becoming the children of God. That was a powerful testimony from the power of God. But it didn't end there. It says, so the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with great terror and with signs and wonders. So what God promised about taking them to the promised land, this celebration is happening inside of that promised land and saying, in this place, this is a place that we receive not because of mighty warriors or good strategy. It was given to all of us by God. So with all this prayer, there are two very important things that they were proclaiming in this remembrance. And it is the fact that God is faithful and God is present. And those are the characteristics of our God today. So whenever we interact with God today, we remember that the God that we have is faithful and the God that we have is present. And we need to remember too, he's faithful to his promises. He is not faithful to your agenda. We talked about that before. He's not faithful to the things that you're going to do that are going to hurt you. So if you have put that in your agenda and it's not happening, do not complain to God because of him being not faithful. It's not about that. He's faithful to his promise of giving you life and life in abundance. And perhaps what you're requesting is not something that is bringing that abundance. So he's not going to be faithful to that. And that's actually good. Amen? So God is faithful and God is present. Those are promises that we carry even today. If you think about the history of the church, Northern Hills United Methodist Church, we are kind of a relative young church. We are like 43 years, and that's young, guys, because I'm 46. So that's very young. So, but one of the things is how does God has been faithful with us? And if we need to remember and enter in covenant with God, we remember, first of all, that we are a child of Travis Park United Methodist Church that is downtown. One time, a group of people in that church, they said, you know, there is no presence of a United Methodist Church at the northeast side of San Antonio. So we're going to plant a church over there. And a group of people left that church, and they start, I think, gathering, first of all, in a movie theater for a while, for a little bit. Who were there? Anyone here? No. Okay. They are in the traditional service, all of them. But so they were gathering in there for a while until they were able to reach enough money and get land. And the land they purchased was the one in Higgins Road, where there right now is the Brighton Center. So anytime you go by the Brighton Center, that was where Northern Hills was before. And but that congregation also grew. What is powerful is to see how education has been very important in this church since that time. Because one of the things I remember, they said, those who left and came here, they said, you know, it always we felt there is not enough room to put people to learn more about the scripture and to have more areas where we can facilitate places of education for the church. And after that, they realized, you know, this is a great place, but we don't have quite the right location to reach out more people. And in 2002, they moved here. And that's where we started this congregation in this area. And after several things here, they were also able and open to do the sanctuary, I think 7 years later or something like that. But one thing we can see in all of that is God's faithfulness with us. And then just 2 years ago, the ministry center in Nacobas. But always, in every single step, I'm telling you the story quickly, but don't you think that it was sometimes challenging? Yes. Was it scary? Yes. Were there moments when things didn't make sense? Yes. Were there times of disagreements between leaders not knowing if that was the right move? Yes. But there was one thing that they always remember. And it was that if God was calling us to do that, even it looked wild and crazy, God will be there and faithful to all of us. A few days ago, I sat with the senior pastor, Milton, and I was telling him, tell me so what I need to learn to be a good senior pastor. What will you teach me besides showing me his socks from UK? And he was telling me, that's an important thing, but I'm not going to wear them. Milton, he told me something special. And every single time that you hear Pastor Milton telling you this testimony, he'll tell you, we are grounded in scripture. And the scripture that he always says is this one on Jeremiah. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. That's where we are grounding our congregation. That's what we need to remember. That's what keeps us walking in our faith. But guys, this is not just the story of a church. This is also and can be also your story. A story that I'm sure in many places you have remembered how God has been able to be faithful to you. I'm sure that many of us, we have said, there are times in our lives where we have felt isolated or we have felt in a very big challenge. But from somewhere, God was able to bring you strength and help you to stand up and keep going. There are times when you have felt that your sins have been heavier than yourself. But here we come, and here comes God with the Holy Spirit and reminds you that the cross is empty because you are relying in a powerful God who has carried your sins, your brokenness, and brings meaning to you. So when we are broken, when we are again in a place of confusion, then we remember. We come back to God and we say, God, you are the one who has given me the promise of a life with hope and future. Do not let Satan lie to you. He'll come and tell you, your sin is bigger than you. You know this problem is a lot bigger than you. Man, you could potentially could do that job and that job, but that one, that's probably a lot for you. And those are the moments when you have all the authority from the Lord and permission from your pastor to say, shut up, Satan. Shut up. Don't dialogue with him. Don't talk to him. Just say, shut up. Even with a Mexican accent. Yeah, because he hears better like that. Shut up. You know, in that moment, do not start that conversation. But remember that you are in covenant with who? With the mighty God, with the God of salvation, with the God who has been faithful walking in our lives. The beautiful thing about this story is that it doesn't stop there. When we are in covenant with God, when we remember, something else happened. One of them is that we are able to rejoice. Just Christians have that capacity. And it is not because we are snob or we know a lot. It is because it's a consequence of the fact. So you shall, we are in the hands of the Lord. The scripture says in there, so you shall, what? Rejoice in every good thing which the Lord your God has given you and your house. We also have this same commandment in the New Testament, in Philippians, that it says, rejoice in the Lord when? Always, always rejoice. And that the Lord, let the Lord, and it is at hand, do not be what? Anxious about anything. But in everything, by prayers and supplications, we all bring that to the Lord. And the peace that goes beyond understanding will be part of our lives. So we have the opportunity of rejoicing, guys. Yes, we all have had those black, difficult, horrible chapters. But at the end of them, we can rejoice. That's one of the beautiful things of saying, you know, God, you can really bring us to be a new creation. There are situations in your life where you feel, I don't know if I can smile again. And in your own, you can't. But it is through the power of that God capable to redeem your story that you will find yourself laughing again. And with that too, the next thing that happens is when you are able to see who you are in the Lord Jesus Christ, when you see how he has transformed you, another side effect is you serve. You serve. Just after the scriptures that we read, the next verse is this one. When you have finished setting aside a tenth of all your produce in the third year, the year of the tithe, you shall give it to the Levite, the foreigner, and the fatherless, and the widow, so that they may eat in your towns and be satisfied. So what happens is when you are aware of the value of your life, when you are thankful, when you remember the power of your own story, you rejoice and then you share. We share to everybody. We share to those who are around us. We share with those even that perhaps you disagree in their life, but you share with them. Because through your sharing, they will be able to find in Christ hope. I love what this missionary says. In a world that demands service, we position ourselves as what? How can we position ourselves there? Through the body of Christ. So today, my brothers and sisters, there is just one thing that I would like you to do. Remember. Remember. Remember and enter in covenant with God, who walks next to you and tells you, I am still faithful and present. And then there, remember that your sins are forgiven. And remember that God is going to accept you, love you, and transform you. I'm just going to invite you. The altar is open, or where you are, just take a moment to remember. Remember those places and those moments when you have felt God. Thank you, because it was you, the one who really took me out of that pit. Remember and give him thanks in those moments when you felt, God, am I going to be forgiven? And you were able to feel and to experience forgiveness from the Lord. Now, right now, tell to the Lord that you remember and you are thankful for those places where you have cried out to him and he has answered. And also remember those moments when God, in his love, he has needed to tell you no, so you can be protected by him. But especially right now, remember that the cross is empty, because we're talking with a living God. Lord, in this moment, we're coming to your presence, and we remember. And in that action, God, we come and we put ourselves, we position ourselves as the mighty church that you created. And God, we remember that all of us here, we have come with our stories before you, and because of your love, you have transformed us. For many of us, God, there were times when we felt it is impossible to smile again, and you have allowed us to laugh. Lord, we are thankful because we understand what it means to rejoice through you, not just to have a happy feeling, but also to feel balance and value in our lives through you. But Lord, as we remember, allow us to be able to go out to the world and serve, so other people can find in you the God of hope, the God who we can remember, and the God who brings a future where we can see, God, your hand opening and guiding us to new places. We pray all of this, God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.